10. Acts chapter 10. I appreciate you being in the sanctuary tonight. I don't know how long I'll stand tonight. I'm kind of tired. I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you?
Yeah.
I don't understand really how I got saved.
Right.
All the workings of God and redemption. I don't understand it all. I don't understand the love He had for such as we are. But He did it, and I'm glad. Ain't you glad you know Him tonight? There's a certain man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. I'm interested tonight in this business of Jesus Christ and sinners, and what it involves and who it involves. Can sinners get saved when they want to? Is there a certain plan of God for every sinner? Did God die for all sinners? Are some sinners special? Is God strong enough not only to save but to keep?
Right.
I say amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Now God's going to deal with this special sinner. I don't know how many Gentiles He saved right here in these days, but this is the opening of the door to you and me, the Gentile nation. We're counted as Gentile dogs. That's what the Jews would not do, would not go into the house of a Gentile nor eat with a Gentile. They thanked God every morning. That's what history says, that they were not born a Gentile. But I'm glad God loved us, aren't you? And I'm concerned about sinners. I realize that my major job is to do something to affect sinners, saved and lost.
You're right.
Even though you may be not lost, you're still a sinner.
You're right.
Yeah. Even though you're in the church and doing religious and righteous deeds, it doesn't mean you're saved.
Right.
And I'd like to convince you tonight, if you're lost, of your lostness.
Yes.
There's a whole lot of folk, and maybe some here, that's doing pretty good as far as the appearance is concerned. But you're rotten on the inside. And I'll tell you that you can go to church, in a Baptist church, with a King James Bible and a God-called preacher, and pay your tithes, and have Sunday school pens hanging down to your knees, and on your way to hell like the drunk on the street. But this man caught God's attention. His praying, his alms giving, got the attention of God Almighty. Now, I'll tell you, if I were a sinner, just in the light of this right here, if I'd never known God, and I wanted a chance to get right, I'd live as close as I could. I would go to church. I would carry a Bible. But I'd freely admit that I'd never been born again.
Yeah.
Ain't that right?
Right.
God, help us tonight to understand our duty and our responsibility to poor lost humanity.
Yeah.
I appreciate the nights of meeting thus far. And most of it has been centered on God's people and their position, their fellowship, and their relationship to God Almighty. And the altars have been filled. But tonight, for a few minutes, I want to deal with the sinner and you and God Almighty. I see young'uns here tonight. Little fellas, little ladies and little gentlemen running these aisles and not knowing anything that's going on. But what is going on, God's putting in their subconscious. And it'll become real to them one day. We owe it to them for the atmosphere at the house of God to be right. I wouldn't want a fake. You see, the sinner knows what's fake. They know the difference if they've been in real spiritual services. They know the difference between God's spirit and the world's spirit. We've got a thing now that's caught on among the church people. A spirit that's not really the Holy Spirit. It's just the spirit of the flesh. We like to for people to run the aisles and shout and holler and little children to wave their handkerchiefs. And I'm going to tell you there's something more solemn and spiritual. And before the God Almighty, we need to understand that when God's around, there needs to be a solemn assembly at the house of God. Amen.
Yes.
Now God sees this sinner. He's got his man in position. What do you think is wrong with the angel? That he didn't get this centurion, this Gentile saved. This head of the Italian band, about 100 men, he is the head of. Pretty important fella. Wonder why the angel didn't give him the instructions. Just kind of quote the Roman road. He could have done that. You say it wasn't written yet, but it's in the mind of God. Wonder why he just didn't quote it to him and get him right. He didn't have the authority.
That's right.
He couldn't preach the gospel to him. He didn't know anything about it.
That's right.
The angel absolutely knew nothing. Nothing about the plan of salvation or the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right, right.
But he had directions where he could find the preacher.
Amen. Amen.
Your direction to the sinner or to be where he can find the preacher.
Yeah.
Not where, with a little message on the back of the track, how he can get right, but tell him where he can find the man of God that'll tell him what he ought to do.
Yeah, that's right.
I got my instructions. I've been instructed all of my young life. I had pretty good Sunday school teachers. I had pastors that had been to the church for years and years, as far back, 8 centuries back, my people went to this church. I didn't cuss, I didn't steal. It looks like I ought to just automatically got in on the reputation of my forefathers, but it's not that way. But God, in His mercy, saw me in Salisbury, North Carolina, in this century, and said, I want this boy. And God sent a man to that church. By the mistake of the members, they got him in there to preach to my heart the gospel, and I got under conviction. Amen. I'm glad I'm in tonight, ain't you? And it's none of my doings. It's the doings of God Almighty. And over yonder on the housetop, this angel said, you go over there to the one Simon's house, which is by the seaside, and inquire for one Simon, which is called Peter, and he'll tell you what you ought to do. Over yonder in Simon's house, Peter is gone up on the housetop to pray. While he's waiting for them to get supper ready, he fell asleep and fell into a trance. It's amazing how God works to get you saved. Now, you understand me. This is kind of a far off theology, I guess. But God can save everybody in America tonight.
Yes, He could.
All He has to do is just say, everybody's saved. He's God. He can get it done. But He's not going to go against His book. And He's not going to go against His plan. God saves old sinners according to the way He's got it written in the book. They'll hear the Word of God. They'll get under conviction if God's got it planned that way. And then there's a decision for them to make as to whether or not they're going to get born again to make the effort. And then there's repentance and faith, old time conviction being on them. And then if they'll put their trust in Him like a little child, He'll save them and make them know they're saved. Y'all believe that?
Yeah.
If you got born again, every one of you came down that path.
That's right.
It may have been a short path or a long path. I got a man in my church. He's on the altar just about now every Sunday morning and sometimes on Sunday night and sometimes on Wednesday night he'll come to the altar. I'm talking about in his 70s. His wife got saved. Never had happened before I told you about it. Never happened to me. I got on preaching. She'd been on the altar a long time. I got on and said, y'all stand, we'll be dismissed. No altar call. And she said, Preacher Milby. And I said, yes, Miss Miller. She said, well, you was a preaching.
Yeah.
I was asking God to save me and something's happened to me. And I don't know what it is. And I said, Miss Miller, tell me how you feel. And she said, well, can't really explain it. She'd not been in church. She said, it's a great old burden of sickness on me. And when I ask Him to come into my heart, and I've been on the altar so much, and she said, all of a sudden, that just went away. And I just feel now so good. And I said, what's happened to you? What are you going to call it? And she said, Lord, save my soul. So I asked her husband, I said, you think she got saved? And he very wise said, I'll tell you in 2 or 3 or 4 months. So I asked him again later on a week or two ago, and he said, I really believe she got something. Said, she ain't perfect, though. And I said, I ain't either. But he said, she's different. And he said, I want it. And he came to my house a week and said, why can't I get saved? And I said, you don't want it bad enough. He didn't understand that. But I'm going to tell you, sinner, when you get to wanting it as bad as you want your next breath, there's more to it than just saying, Lord, I believe. When you get to wanting it with all of your heart, God will save. If He's dealt with you, He'll save you. He ain't going to deal with you and let you go to hell and crying and asking Him to save you. He will save you. But I'll tell you what, after you get under conviction, you can wallow around if you refuse to go to the altar and Him will try to get you to go. And if you die, you'll go to hell. Y'all believe that, don't you? And so Peter's a-praying and God lets down this sheet knitted 4 corners where Peter could see inside of it. And there's possums and lizards and skunks and snakes and every abominable thing you can think of, I guess, and hogs. And said, arise, Peter, slay and eat. Didn't make no sense to Peter at all. He said, Lord, I'm a Jew. I've never eaten any of them that's ever went in my mouth that is common or unclean.
Yeah.
Nothing. And he's right. He said, arise, Peter, slay and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. You can't do that. You can't say no to Him and still call Him Lord.
Right.
And he did it 3 times and pulled the sheet back up into heaven and said, when you go downstairs, there's some men down there looking for you. And he said, you go with them doubting nothing. I like the leadership of God, don't you?
Yeah.
I don't believe there ought to be very much done at the house of God without direct leadership of the Holy Ghost. I know we got to do some things. We got to sing without the leadership of God. I mean, that's just ritual, what we do. You don't have to sing. We have service sometimes and no singing, no praying, no scripture reading. Sometimes I just get up and say, I feel like preaching, and go at it.
Yeah.
If we're not careful, we can be as a ritualist as the big church downtown. I'll tell you the truth tonight. The Holy Spirit is what convicts sinners and draws sinners. It's not how loud or how soft I preach or how high I jump. It's the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I want to get this into sinners' hearts. You say, I've heard all of this before. I know that. And you ought to hear it again and again and again. About 95% of everything outside them doors there does not believe what I've already preached here tonight.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, if you haven't, everybody that gets saved just like I did, traveling the same road, going through the same plan that I followed and got in. You may act a lot different after you get saved. You may not jump up and down. You may not. You may cry. You may not. But I'm going to tell you, you'll follow the route to get saved or you'll not get saved.
That's right.
If you're here tonight, and you just decided to go up front and tell them you're all right and join the church, you're going to hell.
You're right.
If all you done is got baptized and told them you was ready to be a part of the church, you're going to hell. There's going to have to be a period in your experience where you realize you're lost before God. Your goodness will never get you anywhere. It's going to take God's power working on you. Now, God never did save a strutter. You come down here strutting and say, I'm ready to do business with God and chewing chewing gum. And I'm telling you, God's not dealing with you. Every sinner and I saw come down, brother, was under a great load and crying out for mercy from God Almighty.
Yes.
I believe that's right.
I do. That's right.
You say, preacher, I didn't get in that kind of shape. You better get right with God.
Oh, yes.
If you're going to aim to go to heaven.
That's right.
Ain't that right?
Yes, it is.
And Peter went down, brought them in, stayed with them, stayed with him overnight, I reckon, in this house, and left with him the next day to go to Cornelius' house. Now, there's a whole lot in the workings of God I don't understand, but I've lived long enough, been in this way, seen farces at the house of God, seen them read them in, talk them in, and do everything in the world. But I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost, God Almighty, saves old sinners. Baptist preachers don't, reading the Bible to them don't, trying to repent for them ain't going to do it. Mamas, you hear me, let your sons and your daughters repent and quit trying to convince them. They don't have to do all of that. They'll have to be satisfying to God Almighty and repent to His satisfaction or they'll never get up. Your little old plan of going to the screen door and talking to them and getting right with God has never worked. It's never worked. It's never worked. Now you hear me tonight. I've wallowed through this and fought it, and I know it's right. There ain't a thing wrong with you going to folks' houses. I'll tell you, you need some help from God and leadership of God to even go.
That's right.
That's right. And I'll tell you, you go and talk to a man about God. Your emphasis ought to be to tell him if he's lost, he's going to hell, and invite him to the house of God.
That's right, sir.
Yes. Amen. I'll tell you, I never did win anybody to Christ. I never did. I've talked to a lot of sinners and told them they need to get right and they need to go to the house of God. But I've never won anybody. In fact, it ain't my job.
That's right.
It's the Holy Ghost's job to draw sinners and get them under conviction. It is. And Lord, you all know this, but I need to tell it to you again and again and reinforce this pastor and other preachers that's preached it to you. It's right that a sinner must get under conviction through the preaching of the Word of God. You can't find any instance in the New Testament where anybody got saved, got born again, without being preached to. Now, I understand, and I need to say this, I understand that a man of God can sit down by the bedside of a sinner and talk to them under the leadership of the Holy Ghost. It's just as good and effective if he is up here sweating and spitting and preaching as loud as he could preach. I'm talking about the gospel don't come through loudness and jumping. It comes through the power of God, through a man of God. Amen.
Yes.
Now Cornelius is waiting. He's in trouble. He's under conviction. And he's got a bunch of where with him, his kinfolks and friends gathered around his house. Peter's coming, 10 of them coming. 10's a Gentile number, they tell me, and there's 10 of them, Peter, and them three fellas and six more. And they're going to do business with Cornelius.
Yes.
Peter don't know what's going on. He just knows that he's going to talk to a Gentile and he's dreading it. And he knows, Brother Larry, that if he goes in that Gentile's house, when he gets back to Jerusalem,
yes,
the brethren are going to condemn him.
That's right. Yeah.
But Peter's God's free man.
Amen.
And he's not running in fear of the brethren.
Amen.
Ain't that right?
Yeah.
He knew that condemnation was going to come to him for dealing with a Gentile.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he went at the commandment of God. Cornelius met him and got out on his feet, on his knees, bowing at Peter's feet. And this man is supposed to be the first pope. Got up and said, get up, I'm just a man like you are. Amen.
Yes.
Now the preacher's just a man, but he's not just a man like you are. There's something different about a called man of God. If there's not, everybody could do it.
That's right.
There's a Holy Ghost dealing with a man of God to preach the gospel, and he's the only one that can. Amen.
Yes. Right.
Now, what are you going to do, Peter? He said, I want to know what you sent for me for. And so Cornelius tells him about an angel visiting to him and giving him his name and then send him for him. And Peter said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. He remembers now the letting down of the sheet and God saying, what I have cleansed, call thou not common or unclean. You don't get too bad for God to save.
That's right.
Won't make any difference who you are, what you've been, where you've been. God will save you. I'm glad he saved me.
Yeah.
I was a nobody. I mean, I was a nobody. I think now that I had never been out of the county. I was on that hillside farm, that old dirt road. It wasn't no gravel road. It was a dirt road. Stopped at my house. We'd never been anywhere. We didn't know anything. I went to a one-room school. And the King of Glory one day came to where I was and considered me. And I'm happy tonight because I know him. And Peter preached to him about Jesus. The Ethiopian eunuch got preached to about Jesus. And if you're saved, you got preached to about Jesus and his saving power. In the power, you think that Peter just made a speech that day after God had dealt with the sinner and dealt with Peter and he's come all his way to a forbidden place and preached. You think the Holy Ghost wasn't on him? I don't think he preached for just a very few minutes, not much more than 2 or 3 minutes.
Probably. Yeah. Right.
But the power of God. And all at once, them folks started speaking in tongues. And now, don't y'all leave me. You Baptist folk, don't leave me now. Them folks started speaking in tongues. They did. Now this is a, I think, if I believe right, Peter's a Baptist preacher. And they started speaking in tongues. Now I don't care what you do as long as God's in it. But as far as I can tell now, this wasn't no mumbo jumbo. They was speaking in languages. The same thing they did on the day of Pentecost. But it proved one thing, you see. The proof here, Peter needed proof. He didn't just need for them to say, I got it. He'd have never believed that the Gentile got right. Never. Even they could have testified to him all day and said, Peter, I got it, I got it. He is a needing extra evidence that they're born again and God let him speak in tongues. Amen. And Peter said, this is the same thing that happened to us on the day of Pentecost. I believe they got it. I believe they've got it. Said, I believe we'll baptize them. Are you hearing me? He had the authority of the local church to baptize. He is going to get ridiculed for it, but he done it anyway. I'm glad the old time preachers, thank God that are still alive, are doing it anyway. It doesn't make any difference what this world's doing and the claims that they're making of thousands getting saved and some of them been married four times. God ain't in that mess and never has been. It'll take the power of God to get the gospel to sinners. Are you hearing me tonight? Woo! I'm glad God's plan still works for sinners. Well, are you saved? Are you saved? I've been ridiculed now all of my ministry because I declared myself God's free man.
Yes, sir.
I started out, my grandpa's a preacher. He's a Baptist. And he'd preach that to you while he was a Baptist. But I got a hold of God down yonder behind the log in the woods of praying. And God said, now you just lay all that aside, Baptist, Methodist, all aside, and search for truth.
Yes, sir.
And if this Baptist business is right, and I'm not preaching on that tonight, but I'll tell you, you ought to be a truth seeker. I told the fellas at breakfast, and they believe as strong as I do. To be a truth seeker.
Yeah.
I didn't see what the Baptists believe and say, now I've got to make everything come into this line right here. But I sought truth and to see what my outfit, whether it fit in the scriptures or not. I believe that's right. And I've been reading the Bible about how a sinner gets right. And I'll tell you what I preached to you tonight, I was not taught that. I just went to seeking the truth. And God, the Holy Ghost, revealed to me that a sinner's got to get under conviction before he can be born again. You just can't walk the aisles and get one by the hand and lead him down here and expect him to get right. Or go to hit knock on his screen door and read to him through it and ask him if he believes it and get him born again. The Holy Ghost has got to put him under conviction. Ain't that right? And he did. To me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And the evidence is there the morning I got saved. The evidence. You said you speak in tongues for a few minutes. I don't know what I did. But I'm going to tell you, and I come to myself, I've been under conviction 2.5 years at least off and on. And I'm going to tell you, I was a different boy. And I knew something had happened to me supernaturally. It's not just a change of mind or a decision to go in another direction. That's what most of them are saying about repentance. I didn't just make a turnaround. God turned me around.
Amen.
And I knew I was a new boy. The evidence is there. I was a crying when I said I wouldn't cry. I was a hollering when I said I wouldn't holler. God saved my soul and He will yours too.
Amen.
I may tonight be talking to a church member, 2 or 3. And you have them horrible nights when you know you're not saved. And I'll tell you, you convince yourself and talk to yourself and convince yourself until you can rest the next day. Now, if you've been saved, I ain't going to talk you out of it. And if you're saved and doubting, I ain't going to hurt you anyway. You ought to pray until God straightens you out. I say everybody in here tonight, that the devil told you after you got it that you didn't have a thing.
That's right.
Told you you ain't got nothing. All this is a bunch of junk and fake, and you don't have anything. And then the love of Jesus would flood my heart. And I'd say, thank you, Heavenly Father. Go to my prayer place and feel God dealing with me and know it's real. Do you know what you've got's real tonight? Oh, do you know beyond doubt that you're saved, born again? I tell you, it's not worth taking a chance on. You say tonight, preacher, I didn't do anything that you said tonight. I didn't do anything. You say, Brother Robert didn't talk like you talked tonight. He got under conviction. He went to an altar. He prayed, and God saved him. And you can do it in one trip if everything's right in your heart. You don't have to stand in conviction 2.5 years like I did. You can get saved one prayer if everything comes together just right. Ain't that right? Yes, sirree. But God is going to have to work with you until you get to where He can save you.
Yes, sir. Right.
Amen. You've got to get in the notion of being saved. You'll not get saved with ideas about what you're going to do tomorrow night. It's out of the will of God. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
But He'll save you, dear sinner. He wants to. If I was here tonight and there's any doubt in my heart, I mean real doubt, I'd get in this altar. I wouldn't care if all of Salisbury is looking at me and thinking that they're going to shame me for going back to the altar and trying to get it right. If there's doubt in your heart, don't go home that way. You can know. This is a no-so salvation. Amen. Ain't you glad you can know?
Yes, yes.
I'm in absolute peace tonight. There's been a lot of valleys and heartaches and trials, a lot of cussings and torments on me, and church troubles and splits and everything in the world going on. And I've found a little channel to travel in that I don't have to worry about anything. There's perfect peace in my soul, and I'm saved and headed for another country.
Yeah.
If tomorrow the word gets back down here that me and Brother Larry's had a wreck, and that Brother Milby's got killed, I want to tell you before you hear it that before my blood clotted, I was a shouting around the throne of God. Bless His name. I'm about to have a Thursday night fit, just knowing beyond doubt that I've been born again. And I'm happy in my soul tonight. I'll tell you, there's such a thing as getting 40 miles beyond the shaft. When you realize that God is your heavenly Father. Amen. Now, I'm 77. I got a few more years. I plan to preach strong till I'm 93 at least. Then get off the road or quit pastoring, one of the two. But it don't make no difference if it's tomorrow. I ain't going to get more saved if I go 25 more years. Are you hearing me? I'm in because of the love of God and the gospel that is preached to me and the conviction He put on me and the faith He gave me and the space to repent. Went to the altar with me, worked with me, and gave me faith to believe and then saved me. You say, preacher, that sounds like you didn't do nothing. You got it now.
That's right.
Didn't do anything but do what God wanted me to do. Everybody stand, please.